Hi guys, I'm Claire.
And I'm Katie.
And welcome back to the Margarita Madness Podcast.
Woohoo!
We're back, baby! sadly from different cities this week, but it's all good.
I have moved back to school, so we're going to start doing our podcast remotely from different cities, but that's okay.
Yes. Well, I guess our last episode with Brooke was our first...
We were apart then, too.
Update us. How has the move been?
It was good. So I moved my stuff in last week and I got my room set up and then I went back home for the long weekend because I went to my cottage. And then yesterday, which is Monday, we dropped my brother off at Guelph. So sad.
Oh my gosh.
And then I came here and it's been pretty good so far. I had fun with my roommates. I miss them. So that's good.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. What about you? How do you feel at school starting this week so soon?
Unprepared.
Yep.
Literally, it's just so crazy. Like, I feel like I haven't really used my mind in, like, so long. And I guess it's, like, the same amount as it would normally be, but I feel like it's been so, like, longer than normal. It's so weird.
Yeah, because I feel like we both, like, didn't have jobs that really required us to, like, do that much. Like, childcare, I feel like you don't have to use your brain that much. Like, not like a different job that you'd have. So, yeah. This week, we're going to be doing a true crime episode because we haven't done one in so long.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I know y'all have missed it. I mean, we've had some pretty premium content.
I know.
But I know that our true crime fans and me have missed it. And I think we have a pretty good one today, in my opinion. So, yes.
I've never heard of this one, actually.
All right, well, for those who don't know, this week we will be talking about the disappearance of Lauren Spear. And this case is pretty crazy to me. I mean, I feel like any time there's, like, a disappearance, it's just so crazy to me. Like, where are they? How does one just disappear and, like, never found? It's so crazy. And, like, it's scary.
Yeah, when we were deciding what episode we wanted to do today, Claire was like, I don't understand the missing people one. Like, where did they go?
Where are they?
That's
like,
the question. We don't know.
It's just like they're obviously somewhere. Like,
well, yeah.
I mean, sadly, like dead or alive, but they're somewhere. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, so this is a really exciting case, and Katie will start us off.
So, June 3rd, 2011, Lauren was born. What? Was born?
No,
Lauren was
no.
a 20-year-old from New York. She was not born then. Born before. Anyway, she went to Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. So, school was ending and people were going out to celebrate, you know, school year being over.
Just
the hard work.
Normal stuff.
Normal university stuff. Her friend Jay had another friend staying over from out of town and had people over before going out to the bars. Around 12:30, Lauren left her place with her friend David and they go to Jay's just a few streets over. Lauren had a long-term boyfriend, Jesse, but he didn't go out that night. He decided to stay in to watch basketball. Those sports fans, they'll miss anything for their sports.
Oh my gosh, big sports guy.
He didn't hear from Lauren the morning of June 3rd.
All right, so, yeah, that's kind of the background of what happened, sort of the night that Lauren went missing before she was found missing. So now we'll kind of get into, like, the meat of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Later the night of June 3rd, Lauren's boyfriend got a text from Lauren, but it wasn't from her. It was from someone who worked at the bar they were at, Kilroy's, saying that someone had left their phone there the other night. Not concerning at all. So then Jesse, her boyfriend, contacts Lauren's roommate, and when he contacts her, he finds out that Lauren hasn't seen her either, which I feel like is another alarm bell. Like, that means she, like, hadn't come home that night, which is A little scary. So she gives him a key to the apartment so he can go in and see if she's there. So when I was like listening to, by the way, I got a lot of this information from the Crime Junkie episode on this, plus did my own sort of like Googling. I don't really understand, like, so if she gave him a key to go in, does that mean like she wasn't there that night? So she didn't know that Lauren didn't get home or what? Like, I was a little confused. Uh-huh. Going to see if she was there. So a little confusing. Anyway, so he goes in and Lauren is nowhere to be found. Like, she's just not there. Again, scary. So then at this time, Jesse reports Lauren missing to the Bloomington police. Good call.
Good job, Jesse.
Good job. Good boyfriend. and then they call one of Lauren's sisters to let them know what's going on. And so, of course, like, then the parents find out. And, of course, the parents then kind of, like, panic and jump into action. So they're calling hospitals in the area to see if she's there, which I think is pretty smart. You know, just calling around to people who might know where she was. And then pretty quickly, they get on a plane and they go from New York to Indiana. Oh, what it's like to go on a plane. do not know what that is like. So, and then they get there and the police don't really have much for the parents yet. They're still trying to like kind of piece together her like last movements, what happened that night, like talking to people. So Lauren and her friend David left her apartment around 12:30 p.m. To get to Jay's. There is footage early in the evening of her leaving the apartment. So on security footage, you can actually see her leaving. So they know she did. And this is actually the only image they ever released of Lauren. Not sure why or why like this one in particular, but that's the only image they've ever released. And one thing that I found really interesting is, so her boyfriend kind of joined in on the search Saturday and Sunday. And then right after that, he was taken back to New York by his parents instead of like staying to help search. Which I'm like, especially since they had been together for a while at this point and like knew the family, like wouldn't they want to like stay and help, especially if they like didn't have anything to hide?
Yeah, really.
So
that's a little sus.
Little sus. No, I don't like to judge and point fingers, but like...
But like, it's still sus.
Sus, yeah. so around this time, police start taking note of two other people who were at Jay's, Corey and Mike. So these were pretty new, like, people to Lauren. Like, she didn't really know them. They were just like friends of friends, kind of, which I think is why they took notice of them. Like, she wasn't as close with them.
Yeah.
And then they also said that, like, Lauren was already visibly intoxicated when she got to Jay's. So before they even, like, went out to the bars, she was already intoxicated.
I just want to start with so much illegal activity. She's only 20 years old and she's going to a bar, and you know, in the U.S., that's not legal.
I know. I feel like that's kind of like happened. No, university, like when you're like a year or two under, like people just do.
Do, yeah.
But yes, true. It is illegal drinking age here in Canada, but not in the States where this is. We love the 19-year-old legal drinking age here. We love. I couldn't imagine waiting until 21, honestly. I feel like that's so old.
I know.
She's already like intoxicated before she even starts going out. And then at 1:30, she leaves to go to the local bar, Kilroy's, that we mentioned earlier. And then one thing that's interesting to note is it wasn't the entire group who left. It was only Lauren and Corey. And when they're there, like, Corey is buying her drinks, they're partying, all of that. And then after they had been at Kilroy's for about 30 minutes, Lauren leaves with Corey. Honestly, that's so scary to me, like going to a bar like alone with someone who you don't know very well. Like, it's one thing if it's like a new person and like a group of friends, but oh my gosh.
And she already had this boyfriend, and he's like, seems like, yeah, it's really sus. Whatever it is, it's not right.
And again, not victim blaming or anything.
No.
Just like, ah, scares me.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, she seems like a fun girl, like, you know. Around two, they leave. She leaves her phone and shoes at the bar.
Shoes? That's a little odd.
Yeah. Haven't we all been there once or twice?
No. I personally have not.
Me neither, but it happens, I suppose. To Lauren's apartment, like, building. And on security camera, the two make it inside, and they take the elevator to the fifth floor. And then when they're there on the fifth floor, they run into a group of guys. It's not known whether they actually knew the group of guys or not. Mm-hmm. But basically, they get into some sort of altercation, and Corey gets punched in the face. What? I know, that does not sound like a fun time. So after that, like, altercation, I don't know if, like, that's the reason they left, but they actually leave. So still barefoot, she leaves with the apartment with Corey at 2:42 in the morning. And then based on the security footage, like, what they can piece together, it looked like the pair was going back to Corey's townhouse. And from what I heard on Crime Junkie and from what I looked up, there's kind of two accounts of what happened on the CCTV. So Lauren had, based on like what one you listened to, Lauren had two falls. And then after they're kind of like big falls, like face plants, because obviously she's quite intoxicated by this point and can't like stop herself. And then Corey kind of like carries her over the shoulder. And then there's another account that is of her coming out of an alley near her apartment and going into an empty lot that is near Corey's townhouse. And police have never confirmed this one way or the other, really. So these are just kind of like the accounts of what happens. And then when they get to Corey's, he throws up on the steps before going inside. And then Mike, their roommate, obviously like the dad of the squad, puts Corey to bed. And then he tries to get Lauren to, you know, like, she's kind of wired up still, like, wanting to go, like, partying. He's, like, trying to get her to, like, calm down. Like, she wants to keep drinking, and he doesn't really, like, want to, like, watch her. Like, he's kind of over it. It's, like, mm-hmm. 3 o'clock, almost 3 o'clock in the morning by this point. So he decides to take her to Jay. And, again, Jay is her friend. And Lauren So when she gets to Jay's, she makes a couple of calls from Jay's phone because, again, she doesn't have her own. That went unanswered. Couldn't find where the calls were, but she makes a few calls. And then Lauren leaves Jay's townhouse at 4:30 in the morning. He watches her walk down his street and turn onto the street that should have led her like right to her apartment.
I don't know why they would let her just go if they knew.
I know. Well, from my understanding, like, it was literally like just down this street, then she turns and walks the street and she's home, so it really wasn't far.
But still, like, if she's already at this point,
but obviously, as we know, she didn't make it, and she has not been seen since, sadly. So Jay and Jesse and the other friends have all cooperated with police. The only one who hasn't really cooperated or given a lot of information is Corey. He says he has no real memory of the night due to the punch he took, which could be true, I guess. Like, you know, like a punch in the face. But, and like also, like, he was drinking a lot, or it could have been like, take that with whatever you will. And then he kind of goes back on that statement saying it wasn't true. So he does remember that night, which is weird. Yeah. So now the police have to consider other options because, you know, like the friendship was like, it's not really leading anywhere. Mm-hmm. So they started to consider like that she ran into someone else kind of like separate, like that she didn't even know. And so then another image is released, and the image is of a white pickup truck that had been circling the area the night Lauren went missing. Honestly, like, I think you see a white truck at like that time of night,
and it's circling more than like, once. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, definitely a little fishy. And so then police were getting a lot of tips about this truck. And a lady actually, so this was like kind of a big break. A lady actually called saying that her ex had just been released from prison shortly before Lauren went missing. And shortly after Lauren went missing, he threatened her, saying that he's going to do the same thing to her that he did to Lauren.
Oh,
which is like,
my God.
Scary. I mean, like, whether he did it or not is kind of like quite a scary threat. But I guess this guy checked out or whatever, because eventually both he and the white truck, like the whole white truck theory, are ruled out. So then the case kind of doesn't really go anywhere, and after 2 months of looking for Lauren, the police tell the family that they will be searching the landfill, which is so sad. Like, I can't even imagine how hard that would be to like hear that they're like looking for your daughter in like literally a garbage dump. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of, I think that like really got to me when I was listening to it. I was like, that's so sad. And then the family finally admitted, like, at this point that they didn't really expect to find Lauren alive. But still, they were frustrated because they felt that they were no further than they got, like, in the first 30 days.
Yeah.
And now it's almost a year later. So at this point, they kind of start to take things into their own hands.
So the family hires private investigators, and the private investigators say the same thing as the parents, that the people she was with know what happened.
I definitely think the people who were with her, like, maybe they didn't have anything to do with it, but I definitely think they know more than they're letting on.
Yeah, they just don't want to, like, get in trouble. Like, that just seems, I don't know.
Yeah.
So they think it was an accident. There was a small amount of cocaine in her room, and it is thought she was mixing alcohol with some drugs, which...
Yeah. Girl. Which is, like, you know, you don't, like, in this case, it's, like, you don't want to, like, judge someone for, like, doing drugs. Like, that's not really the point. But, like, it definitely, especially, like, once we take into account what we're going to talk about next, like, it definitely could have maybe played a part in, like, an accident or something, I feel like. Yeah,
for sure. So Lauren had a heart condition called long QT syndrome that would make her more susceptible to an overdose. In 2013, the family of Lauren's boyfriend say that she was missing because of her drug abuse, like, in quotations, drug abuse. Lauren didn't go missing because of that. She went missing because someone took her, obviously, like...
Which I think is a good point. Like, this was kind of, like, what the parents and private investigators were saying. Like, she didn't go missing because of that. Like, even if that was something that, like, had contributed to her, like, you know, getting sick or like, dying even, like, that's not why she went missing.
Something happened to her, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and like, it kind of sucks, like, the boyfriend's family are, like, trying to chalk it up all to drug abuse, like, when it's not even known that, like, she had a drug problem,
per se. Yeah, it didn't, like, even say she has a drug problem.
Yeah.
Like, that's never indicated.
It's, yeah.
So there have been many tips that have come in, some more public than others. In 2016, the FBI raided a house 30 minutes away, but there was nothing there. And another time, a man in prison said his cellmate said she OD'd and her body was dumped in the Ohio River, which... if you're in prison, how are you figuring this out?
Is, like, it's hard to know because I feel like a lot of times, like, you hear of, like, people in prison and they'll just, like, you know, throw out that they were, like, involved in something or, like, they really weren't. So it's hard to know, these things.
The Spearers filed a lawsuit against...
You need to go back to school.
I do. Good thing it's starting. Against some of the guys saying that they had an obligation to take care of her, like, that night, the people mm-hmm. she was with. And the judge threw the case out because...
Yeah. I feel like that kind of makes sense. Like, because if this were to become, like, precedent, like, where do you kind of draw the line at that point? Like, if you just come across some stranger, like, are you obligated to take care of them? Like, yeah, it was kind of shitty that they didn't. But I can see what the judge is kind of, like, saying. Like, it would set a bad precedent.
I agree that it's not a court case, but I'm sure those guys do feel terrible that they let her walk out and she's gone, so...
Unless they had something to do with it.
Maybe, but we don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
And another theory that is that there was a link with the Israel Keyes.
Yeah, so Israel Keyes is another, like, well-known, like, serial killer that kind of working in and around this time. And Crime Junkie kind of broke it down, like, more than... basically, he was, like... in the Indiana area at the time that she went missing. They couldn't quite pinpoint, like, whether he was actually, like, in that town per se, but he was definitely, like, in the area. Yeah. So, like, that's definitely, like, a possibility too, because this guy is scary.
Yeah. Or, like, we don't know if it was someone unknown who just, like, saw her on the street. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
So Daniel Nessel? I don't know.
Yeah.
He pled guilty to a murder of another IU student, which...
Yeah, oh, so...
Daniel, are you okay?
So there was another IU student that was kind of, like, was murdered at the time, and people were trying to, like, link him to her case, but I don't think there was anything that really came mm-hmm. of that.
There was a homeless man who said he heard a scream at about 4:30 in the morning when Lauren went missing. He died a few days later. Coincidence or something fishy is what Claire wrote as the side note beside it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like, again, like, you don't want to, like, see a homeless guy in the area and automatically think he has something to do with it. But, like, you know, these are things you, like, you have to consider, especially when something as serious as a missing person, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to consider, like, all avenues and options.
He was found in a dumpster. I forgot to mention that part. And then there have been no real updates or leads since. So it's been 9 years and we have no idea what happened to her.
Which, so just to, like, kind of finish. So the homeless man, he was actually found... like, dead in a dumpster shortly after. So people are wondering whether, like, that was something to do with the fact that he had, like, kind of talked about it or just kind of, like, a coincidence. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know. But, yeah, there's, like you said, there's been, like, no real updates since, which is, like, honestly so sad. Like, I just can't, like, I honestly can't imagine. Like, it's... bad. I feel like it's definitely sad enough if someone you know or, like, your child is, like, murdered or killed or dies or whatever, but something about, like, just not knowing anything
is, like... There's just no, like, peace in their minds then that they just have no idea what happened. Well, there's all these statistics about how the first, 24 hours, 48 hours are really important in things like this, and if it's been 9 years, like... Not that there shouldn't be any hope, but it is really unlikely at this point that they're going to find any answers.
Yeah. And like you said, like, I feel like the parents, they kind of had sort of early on, and, like, they didn't really expect to find her alive. But I'm sure, like, they still want answers, right? Like, you know, it's still, like, they want, like, closure. And so I just can't imagine how hard that must be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, with all the ones that we do that are, like, missing people, like, I have no even thoughts because I have no idea what happened and it's hard to just be like, oh, whatever. Like, I think this when I have no idea. Honestly, I read these things and I read all the stories and facts and whatever.
I know.
I still have no idea what to think because do I think it was any of those guys? Probably not, if they're her friends. But, like, do I think it was the homeless man? Like, probably not. He's had no real reason to do that, so I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's the same, like, we're recapping our thoughts, and I feel like neither of us really, like, obviously no one knows for sure, right, or else this case would be, like, solved.
Yeah.
I definitely feel, I don't know, it's my personal opinion that the like, group she was with and all of that, like, knows more than they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think they have to. I mean,
Do I think that Corey is a little sus? Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think that he was like, I'm going to take this girl and never let her be seen again.
No. And the only problem I have with, like, the whole, like, overdose theory is, like, then where is she? Like, I guess what they're trying to say. Yeah, I guess what they're trying to say is, like, if she had had an overdose, like, then maybe they kind of, like, freaked out and, like, got rid of her body. But, like, and, you know, I mean, obviously, they were like, drinking and, like, not in their right minds. But if it literally was an accident, then, like, what do you have to hide, kind of? I don't know. It's hard to say.
The overdose theory is a bit of a stretch because not once did say she had a drug problem. Like, yeah, she was using that night. She might have used before, but they were also, like, all heavily intoxicated on alcohol and things like that. So I feel like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. This was a crazy one.
This is a really head scratcher. Honestly, like, I have no idea. No thoughts. I have no idea.
I know. I guess this isn't the first missing person one we did, because we did the Madeline McCann, which again, crazy. Where is she?
Yeah, where is she?
Yeah. It's just so crazy that you can, like, just be going out and having a good night and then something happens.
Whenever we do episodes like this, I think, like, oh my god, like, I'm a 20-year-old university student, like, I go, I know. But then anything happens, it just, like, it makes me, like, not want to do anything, you know what I mean?
That, like, I know. And it just sucks because, like, I'm tempted to say, like, be safe, but, like, who's to say that something wouldn't have happened to her even if she was, like, super, super safe and stuff? And I mean, like, you never think that something's going to happen. Like, it's not her fault. Like, she was just going out with a group of friends, like, all of that. Like, it's just so... So, I feel like it's because we're 20. Obviously, we don't go out right now much because pandemic. But, like, you know, this could have easily been something that, like, we would have been doing. Like, it's crazy.
God, knock on wood that doesn't happen. Like, really.
Knock on wood. Don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just at a loss of words right now. Like,
I know.
I think it'd be really hard to be a parent or a family member or someone who even cares in this situation, because she was just some regular girl. Like, and obviously she had friends, had a boyfriend. Like, she was loved. Like, it would be really hard to not know any answers.
Yeah, for sure. Like, again, like, I feel like that's like the worst thing almost, because you just don't know. Like, I feel like you kind of assume that she's, like, dead by this point, but what if she's not? Like, what if she's, like, it's just so crazy. Yeah, and it's so sad.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't even know. Well, do you want to do our your what thing you're excited for this week?
Oh yeah, so we do our highlight.
Oh, we didn't even do our
highlight.
Okay, we'll do highlight now.
We're so bad.
We're so disorganized. We got onto our FaceTime call and we just started talking, like, regular. I'm like, wait, we could have put this on the podcast. Like, whatever.
This is what happens when we don't see each other as much.
Yeah, we just got too excited to, like, start.
Okay, yeah, you go first.
So my highlight of the past week would probably be celebrating my brother's birthday. It was 2 days ago, and he turned 18. So he's a real adult now. I know. He
can't pay the junior
fees at the golf course anymore. He's grown up.
Oh,
crazy. What about you? What's your highlight of the past week?
A highlight. I feel like my highlight is that I'm actually excited to be home. I just kind of got back from being at, so I was at my grandparents, and then I went right out to the lake. So that was like,
yeah, you haven't been home for a while.
Yeah, it was for like 10 days, and now I'm home. And also a highlight is that my brother got his driver's license, which is so exciting.
He did. His
G2, we love. We're so excited, so proud of him.
The only reason she just loves this so much is because she can't drive, so now he can drive her around.
Well, partially. I'm also a very proud sis, but yes. It is nice to have a third person to...
A third person chauffeur.
Yes, I will get on getting my G2 at some point. He went to like Mattawa to do it, which is
not almost, close,
which is like basically North Bay, like 4.5 hours away. And he said it was so easy, so like might go there to do my G2.
I did mine in Peterborough, and it was very easy. It was a 9-minute test. Like,
yeah,
Toronto's passing rate is like something like less than 50%. Yeah. So. Don't
pro tip, pro tip, go to a small town.
Yeah,
to do
pro
it.
Tip, if you're going to do your G test, now that we're getting into this, do your G test in a small town, because if you do it in, like, Peterborough, places like that, the highway is only the 115, so it's a two-lane highway, and it's not a 400 series highway like Toronto, so it's so much easier.
Yeah. love that tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's very exciting. And I guess we'll get into what we're looking forward to for this week now. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, I'm actually excited to start school. So I start in 2 days on Thursday. Yes. And I'm excited to have my first practices back to cheer. We had a little week break last week. So now we're getting into it. We're starting our two practices a week, and I'm excited for that.
That's so exciting. Back on the cheer grind.
Back on the grind.
Love it. I too am looking forward to school. I feel like I just said that, but I'm excited to, well, I guess I've been like reading, like I haven't not used my brain, but you know what I mean? Like to like get back into like school mode and all of that. It'll definitely be very like different and strange, but it's funny. So we're recording this on Tuesday, and I actually don't start school till, well, technically classes start. I know we're recording this on, recording this on Tuesday. And then I technically, my school starts classes tomorrow, mm-hmm. but the only class I have Wednesdays is a lab, and then they don't run labs the first week, and then I don't have classes Thursday, Friday, so technically I don't start till Monday.
She's got time, is what she's saying, to prepare and use her brain to get it working again.
Yes.
Read some books because, in the meantime.
Yes, I have been doing lots of reading this summer, which has been great. Maybe I'll do a little, maybe we'll do a little segment on a podcast episode.
We could do a little, like, a book club.
Oh my gosh, I love this idea. Oh my gosh.
A little book recommendation, little book club. We could
Oh my gosh.
That.
Well, we'll toy around with this. Maybe we'll start a Margarita Madness book club.
That's
so fun. Like, I do love reading books. I love getting inspo from book clubs. I follow, like, Reese Witherspoon's
book
club. Love it. My grandma's into book clubs, you know. anyway, so, like, I have done a lot of reading, but, you know, I just feel like reading and, like, school mind are, like, kind of different.
They're very different.
Gotta get back into the mapping mindset. And
geography and mindset is what she means.
Geography, yes. We love. So it should be an exciting week. We should have a lot of fun updates next week after we've had some classes. Potential Zoom university stories. We'll see.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening to our podcast. You can always DM us on the Margarita Madness podcast or our own personal Instagrams. Mine is at katie.baldison.
And I'm at claire.o'hagan. Thank you guys so much. And
thank
we will see you.
You
next Thursday.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.